Four Midwest Guys presents...
People have heard the stories. They've read the articles. But they've never seen...
Marvel DC King!
Hey everybody, welcome back to Marvel DC Kings. Tonight we're going to do the crossover event special.
CW crossover special.
Yeah, so we're going to do, we're talking about all four of the CW shows, Supergirl, Flash, Arrow, and Legends. Let's start with Supergirl, Brian.
Yeah.
To me this episode wasn't so much as a crossover, it was just a Supergirl episode with maybe 10, 15 seconds of the Flash at the end.
Yeah, pretty much, other than the occasional cloud that suddenly showed up, I guess.
Well, I mean,
Barry's trying to get through.
Yeah, they explained it as Vibe was trying to get through, and he couldn't quite get it.
So, yeah, it was really a waste, really, because I get it that, you know, Supergirl is from, what is it, Earth 38 or 33?
Correct, 38.
I get it.
For the 1938 when Superman first came to print.
Oh wow! Let's see there you go. Nicely done, B. But yeah, I would have liked to have seen, because she mentioned that she had seen the alien race, which they call the Dominators, that had come to Krypton before.
Right.
So why not use that in Supergirl? You know, to at least start this whole thing.
Well, I think that was the start. So the way I looked at it was, I mean, I didn't, like you said, I didn't see it as a crossover event, but it kind of led up to it with the whole John Jones becoming a white Martian. And because the white Martians are more of the attacker race versus the green ones, which are passive.
Passive, yeah. And not to go off the crossover event for a second, is it just me or was that just a complete waste of a storyline?
Of the John Jones one?
Yeah, how they were turning him into a white Martian, and then all of a sudden he's fine. I took issue with that.
Well, he was fine because the virus that she thought her dad created to make the world a worse place, that she was just was actually eventually the reason. It was actually a positive thing that was able to help John Jones. So it was kind of she thought her parents weren't the best, weren't the greatest people, but then realized that he was actually trying to help people, and in the end was able to help her friends with it.
I guess I just thought they were going to do more with John Jones turning into a monster for a little while longer and dealing with and how that affected him and his friendship with the white, the white Martian, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Instead, they just kind of brought it to an abrupt end.
They did really. It was like people aren't responding well to this, so let's go ahead and just cut that out.
Yeah, I felt like they changed direction very quickly.
Yep. There. So that we had that progression of him. We had the progression of the Daxamite, Mon-El.
Mon-El, yeah.
Now we know that he likes her, and they had the kiss. And then he pretended like he had amnesia and didn't know about it. And she said, oh, nothing happened. And then we had the whole... Luther, mom versus daughter.
That was a good... I like that. I enjoyed
that twist where you're like, oh my gosh, she's following her footsteps. And then she's like, oh, she outsmarted her.
Right.
Which I thought was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I thought it was impressive.
And then we had more of the cyborg Superman.
Yeah.
You know, and they had the whole wine liner. You might be a cyborg, but you're not a Superman.
Right.
And, oh, he's gone, which now means that we can come back for another episode.
Right.
The whole episode to me just kind of, and they keep pushing that whole lesbian agenda thing too with her sister, which I'm okay with.
Just let her be the lesbian and not make it such. I agree. It's become like this big slot. It's a subplot that maybe should have gone on an episode or two, but this has gone on what, three or four
episodes now.
And it's kind of like we know she's gay.
I'm coming out to my mother and. Blah, 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 and...
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, they're totally... My problem is they're trying to get brownie points. And,
right.
You know, you can totally tell. And just make it part of the storyline and make it entertaining. It, to me, that's not. It just hasn't been entertaining at all. Right. I don't care.
Yeah. I mean, but for overall the episode for the Supergirl episode, I would probably give it probably about a B minus.
Okay.
I wouldn't rate it any higher, only because, like I said, it wasn't a crossover event. It just felt like a Supergirl.
Yeah, it pretty much was just a Supergirl. I would probably give it a C plus to a B minus. I think the only redeeming quality I found, again, like you mentioned earlier, was Luther versus Luther, you know, daughter mm-hmm. outsmarting her mother kind right. of thing. And I'm intrigued by, I like that actress. She was actually very good in the Merlin series.
Right.
As Morgan.
Yeah.
Or Morgana, sorry.
Yeah, Morgana.
Yeah, so, yeah. So, yeah, I liked, so for that was a redeeming factor for me, and the fact that Flash did show up at the end, I guess. That's where I would, you know.
Right, so. And so we're, that scene at the end of Supergirl is actually what starts out Flash. And we see that, you know, he explains, they tried it a few times to get there.
Right.
And, you know, you said you would help, so.
Yeah.
You know, I need you to come help. Like, and instantly, okay, what do we got?
Yeah.
And, like, so they instantly go back.
Yeah, what I found funny about the whole opening scene was, it was, like we had said, it's like you didn't even have to watch Supergirl because they replayed the whole ending scene again. And Flash, I'm like, well, that's great, but, yeah, it would have been nice to at least give Supergirl a little credit. You know, you would have right. had to actually watched it to get at least a little bit of information, but not really.
Yeah, you know? You didn't have to watch it at all.
No.
But Flash was another good episode. And you had the whole Kid Flash mm-hmm. and his powers, and yep. they're trying to tell him not to use them, and he wants to use them anyway. And
right.
I think the only thing I didn't like about this episode was there wasn't a huge involvement of the other cast from the other shows.
No,
out of all four of them, though, yeah. I would say that that episode of Flash was more of the crossover show out of all four of them.
Yeah, it was. I think, and it might be because Flash is now, I mean, I know Arrow started the whole thing, but Flash has definitely become more popular.
Oh, yeah.
And so
it's more upbeat.
Yeah, and if you're gonna take one of the shows and, you know, use it as the major platform show for the whole crossover series, I would use Flash too.
Right. Well, the other thing is Flash is the only way that connects them all.
Right. That's true.
Because he's the only one that can travel to different worlds. And through time and everything else. And, so you have
right.
the Time Masters, aka the Legends or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you have the different world with Supergirl, and he's just down the road from Arrow.
Yeah. He kind of is the linchpin. Yeah.
Yeah. He's kind of what pulls it all together.
Right.
But
yeah, I like this episode. I like how they furthered along Kid Flash, his storyline in it, even though he really isn't part of the crossover storyline, but they did keep that subplot going for
right.
the Flash series, so that helped build it. I like how they kept the whole rivalry between Cisco and Barry
mm-hmm.
going actually through the whole series. That was actually, it became a series subplot, the crossover
right.
plot, which I really enjoyed that too. So... yeah, I would say, you know, this Flash episode was pretty good. It was like you said, it was mostly just kind of setting up how they're going to fight the aliens, how they form the team, and, you know, how they're developing their strategy, really, and how they're going to approach it, you know.
Right, and it was a, because that was the first time we saw the aliens.
Right.
What do you think about the CGI on those? I thought it was a little off.
They look like what was it that I thought they look like Mortal? There's a Mortal Kombat character who has kind of a monster face,
right?
Yeah, they kind of had that thing kicking with them. And other than that, they look like your typical alien, you know?
Yeah, like I thought they did. It was like almost like they ran out of money. Like it was like a the body looked all good, and you get all up to the face, and they're like, "Oh, how are we gonna make the face?" And it looked like it was like almost like a Krang, like the brain, or like actually what it looked like was like a scary version of the Mars Attacks alien.
Either that or what was the Mel Brooks with the cornfield and the bat. What was that? I can't remember. Or not Mel Brooks, but
Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
Awakening.
It was like an alien movie.
Yeah.
The
Signs.
Signs. Yeah. They looked a lot like the Signs alien.
Yeah, it was very similar to that, except the scary teeth.
Yeah, except with the monster Mortal Kombat. Dude, I can't think of the character's name anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
Scorpion?
Yeah. No.
Was it Scorpion?
Was it Scorpion? No, it wasn't Scorpion. Scorpion's the get over here guy.
Yeah.
I can't. I don't
remember. I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
So, but yeah, it was definitely, if I had to grade Flash, I would give Flash a solid B. He wasn't the best Flash episode, obviously, but it had enough action, and it was just basically them fighting the aliens and how they've come up with a strategy or try to.
Right. I would probably
Barry trying to reveal his whole Flashpoint crap to.
Yes, yeah. He was trying to explain it to people.
Right.
And then, you know, through the whole thing, we find out that it's not really as easy as they thought, and you know, because everybody was like, "I can't believe you messed with the timeline. We're trying to fix it," or "You messed with the timeline. You did this and everything else." And then later on, with all that stuff comes back, and they're like, yeah. "Oh, it's not as easy as."
Right, right. We'll get to that. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And I one of the other major points in this one was the first time we saw the Hall of Justice.
Yeah, which was funny because you could tell they totally took pictures of our Cincinnati Union Terminal.
Yep.
And the only reason I knew it was definitely the Union Terminal was because you could still see the train slots on the side,
mm-hmm.
the side buildings. And I was like, yep, they used part of that
and
image.
And that was part of the promo pic that they used. We knew it was coming.
Yeah.
They used that, and then but what I didn't understand was they turned the back end into an airport hangar.
Yeah, that was the only thing that kind of threw me, too. It was like they just took the back of the Cincinnati Union Terminal and extended it out, and apparently the back of the place is just this giant airport.
Yeah,
or abandoned Air Force base, or
yeah,
something.
Which it was still pretty neat. The first time we've ever seen
actual Hall of Justice,
right? And he's like just this hall I own.
Yeah,
it's like it's pretty significant when you think about all the different things we've seen.
Yeah,
and if I had to grade this episode, I would probably have to give it an A.
Oh, okay,
just because out of all of them, this seemed to be the crossover part where we had all that extensive battle scene with the Legends, with Supergirl fighting against Barry, and
she gets mind controlled. Yeah,
right. So we had all those battle scenes and interactions between all the different shows, which felt like a superhero show.
Yeah,
It was the closest thing I think we've come to Justice League that we've seen. Even Batman v Superman didn't feel, and by Justice League I mean the cartoon TV show Justice League that had like almost all the superheroes in it.
Superheroes, yeah. Yeah, there's a Smallville. There's a, you know what I'm talking about. There's a Smallville episode.
The one episode where you had
the four or five.
Yeah, they had five of them that were walking with the fire behind them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was straight like Super Friends.
Right. Yeah, that was.
This was like I'm saying. This is more like Justice League, the cartoon series, where you had all the different.
Although the Hall of Justice, they made that look just like the Super Friends Hall of Justice.
Yes, they did.
All the way down to the fountain and the star.
I thought it was really good. And then at the end of this episode, we see the aliens abduct all of the non-metahuman.
Right.
All of the human people from like Arrow,
mm-hmm.
basically, right?
Well, it was more than that. You've got White Canary; she's taken.
But they were from Arrow
at one point, I guess.
Right. So because they took Rey and her,
right?
And they were from Arrow, so that's why when I'm thinking about what the crossover episodes were, Flash is the only one that really stands out as a true crossover, which is much character involvement from the other shows that was on Flash. Because when we get to Arrow, it's those five. It's Thea, Oliver, Diggle.
White Canary.
White Canary and Adam.
Yeah.
And they're abducted onto the ship. And, you know, we knew it ahead of time, but watching the preview of what was going to be, it was like, I mean, a pod stasis. And, I don't know if you knew this or not, but this was Arrow's 100th episode.
Oh, I didn't realize that, no.
So that was why this episode was basically flashbacks and an homage to other things.
Yeah.
And they gave the director of this episode was, but they gave him free rein to do however he wanted to do it.
Yeah.
And so he wanted to pay homage to a lot of the one of his favorite 90s films, which was The Matrix.
Okay. Yeah, it kind of had a Matrix.
So that's why the U.S. government guy's name was Agent Smith.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, and they were in the pods,
mm-hmm.
which was you could tell was a different reality.
Right.
And they were trying to wake up.
Yeah. Okay.
So I thought that was kind of cool. There was some other little tidbits that were in there. But basically, you know, we got to see the return of Laurel, mm-hmm. who I love on the show, and I wish she would come back. I wish that this crossover event would have brought her back
somehow.
Mm-hmm. We saw Tommy.
Yeah.
Which was Oliver's, you know, best friend, Tommy Merlin. And we got to see Deathstroke.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
And we got to see Merlin. And we got to see... who was the big bad from the one season that wasn't very good? The magic guy.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, I had a hard time with this episode only because I haven't seen a lot of Arrow episodes.
All the backstory stuff, you had no idea.
Right. I knew what they were trying to do, obviously, but I had no idea who a lot of those people were.
Right. So the whole, like, his dad killing himself to save him.
Right, right.
His mom was already dead because he got killed by Deathstroke.
Yeah.
And, you know, Thea gave him the little token, the little stone. That's what he gave to Thea when he came back.
Oh, okay.
In the actual episode.
Yeah, the stone, the little arrow.
Yeah, the little token or whatever she called it. Tolkien or whatever she called it.
Yeah.
That's what he gave to her.
Oh, okay. That makes a little more sense now.
When he came back. And, I mean, I really thought this episode was really good. I really wish that they'd have somehow been able to...
Bring some people back.
There was some talk online. Why was Roy... and Felicity in the when he was getting ready to come back through the portal.
Yeah.
Because they're like, you know, that's how we have to get out. We go through the portal.
Right.
And when he was getting ready to walk through.
Why he saw the ghosts.
He saw the ghosts of all the stuff. Mm-hmm. It wasn't really ghosts per se. It was all the sacrifices that has happened through his 5 years. Like his dad dying or his mom dying.
Right.
But people said Roy's still alive and so is Felicity. And Roy's was... a big sacrifice because Roy sacrificed himself so that Oliver could come back as the Green Arrow because Roy sacrificed himself as the Green Arrow and he had to leave everything behind and go live somewhere else. And then Felicity was his great love lost because now they're just friends and not love anymore.
Yeah.
Which I still hate that. I do not like Felicity as that kind of, her and Oliver I don't think they have the same chemistry that Laurel and him did. Of course, that's the same way with the comics. You know, Black Canary and Oliver, you know, and Green Arrow have kids together and stuff. I mean, like, almost a lot of the storylines, even the alternate storylines, they end up together.
Yeah.
And...
well, she could come back at some point, especially if Legends, you know...
Well, and she was supposed to. Like,
if they, you know, decide... to change time, or if White mm-hmm. Canary decides to change the time.
Yeah, I mean, and she's supposed to, like, she signed on for to be a show regular throughout the episode, throughout the different series, just mm-hmm. like Merlin, Malcolm Merlin did, and so did a guy with the magic. Is going to bother me that I can't remember his name.
Sorry, I wish I could help you. I really can't.
Well, anyway, the really prominent actor that you know who he is.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, they all signed on for Ra's bigger. Yeah, no, not uh-huh. him. It's the guy with the blonde hair.
Oh, him. Yeah, I'm not sure who that is.
I can't remember his name. Well, anyway, he signed on too.
Okay.
But yeah, this episode was, you know, it was interesting. And then towards the end, you see him on they break out and they're like, "Where are we at?" And, you know, Ray's looking up and he goes, "Guys, you're never going to believe this."
Right.
And they're looking at Earth. And so they have to get the spaceship and, you know, bring it out. And then they get And I knew that's how they were going to do it. And then the Wave Rider comes in from Legends.
And saves him.
And saves him. I don't know. What, how would you grade this episode?
Again, like I said, I'll give it... I'll be nice and I'll give it a B. But for me, I was lost, you know, for most of it. Because I'm just not that invested in Arrow. Like, if they had done this with Flash, I probably would have loved it. You know, because I know I've seen every episode of Flash. Or at least with Legends of Tomorrow, I've seen just about every episode. I've seen half of season one and all of season two so far.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I just didn't have the same vested interest, obviously. But I knew what they were kind of going for. And right. I still enjoyed the episode. I always like that Matrix kind of stuff anyway. So, yeah, I give it a good B. I'm sure you gave it much higher.
Yeah, I'm going to give it an A. Yeah. Maybe A minus. Mm-hmm. Of the four, this was probably my second favorite behind Flash.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that it was its 100th episode, you know, it's pretty much a milestone for most shows, as 100th episode. And I thought they did well by, you know, kind of touching on random things throughout Oliver's past and the backstory that a lot of the they said at one point during the filming, one of the scenes with him and Laurel, Stephen Amell actually kind of teared up.
Oh, really?
Because of how much chemistry they had when they were on set together all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know. So that would be my.
That was your review of it.
My that'll be my review. So that Wave Rider gets him, and obviously brings him back. We don't really see a whole bunch of the Wave Rider in that episode.
Not really. No. I mean, but.
And it's Ray and White Canary that are the link between that and. Wave, and then that's why I don't feel like it was that much of a crossover, because those two were already from Arrow to begin with.
Yeah, I guess I see what you're saying. I kind of actually liked how they I won't say transition, but I like how they used Legends of Tomorrow, though. And it's part of the overall storyline. Like, you had, they continued the professor and his now daughter that is suddenly he's created by running into his old self.
Yep.
It's another instance of somebody screwing with the timeline and the consequences of, and this was showing a positive effect.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like that. I dug that a lot.
Right. Not everything is bad.
Right. Right. It was in complete contrast to Barry and Flashpoint. And so I really liked that. I liked how they didn't use the Wave Rider a lot. From this point on, you know, but they did use a lot of, they at least went back in time, though. So they used an element from Legends when they went back to the 50s to try to capture an alien.
That was next. That was Legends.
Right, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, oh, yeah. I've kind of made the transition.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
No, that's okay.
No. But yeah, so I like that part of Legends. I don't know. What did you think about the Legends episode?
The Legends episode was good.
Yeah.
I kind of knew they were going to do some kind of like time travel, because that's what they do.
Right.
My favorite part of this episode was Cisco realizing that even though you're trying to do the right thing, it has repercussions down the road.
Right.
So when he went back in time,
mm-hmm.
and then he saved the Dominator from... the U.S. government.
Yeah.
Harry thought he was doing a good thing.
Right.
When he gets back, all of a sudden, now all the Dominators are coming after Barry.
Because he's the one that created the invasion. He, the guy they saved is the one leading the invasion, the same alien that's leading
the
invasion.
Yeah, and he's like, because you saved me, I'll warn you.
Yeah. You get to live, but I, yeah.
But others will not, because of Barry Allen, and he's a metahuman, and we've seen this on other worlds. And, you know, if he surrenders himself...
Right.
We'll leave you guys alone.
Yep.
And then he finds it odd that one of the ones that saved him was a metahuman, because he vibed up there.
Right.
To kind of talk to him. That was probably my favorite part, was Cisco realizing, because Cisco, I mean, they had talked about it. I don't remember which of the three prior to that they had talked about. Barry didn't kill his brother.
Right. It was.
It's just, it happened, and then
the butterfly effect. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But he didn't cause his brother to die.
Right.
So and that but Cisco took it as he changed it, which caused my brother to die. So he's responsible and blah blah blah.
Because he did it as a selfish act to save something of himself, but he didn't realize what the consequences of his actions. Yeah. Exactly. And that's, I like that. I like how they concluded that. because they started with it right off the bat. And the only thing you can actually say is Supergirl part of it is right from the minute, you know, you're like, well, this is my friend Cisco. And even Cisco's like, oh, we're more like work acquaintances, mm-hmm. which was a big deal coming from Cisco, right?
Right.
So, you know, the fact that they went through that, this entire crossover and that, that storyline went through the whole crossover. So did the professors
come to think of it. Yeah, she's like, oh, you're only going into the 1950s to escape Barry Allen.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I want to do that. She's like, really? And he's like, no, it's okay. It's to get away from Barry.
Right. And it was all about the time. And really, the timeline really played a big thing because even the professors, the storyline kind of went through at least three of them, three out of the four, which really was just three anyway. But so, you know, I really liked the alien conflict itself. It was okay. You know, how they resolved it was good.
But I mean, the action sequence there at the end.
The action sequences were good. They were just the alien, the bad guys, kind of like a Marvel. They weren't like huge big baddies, I guess, other than they were trying to bomb the metahumans.
Well, they were going to bomb the metahumans, and then the Firestorm changed the thing into water.
Water, right. But, I mean, the baddies were bad enough, I guess. They were just there to
they weren't there to be the season long bad for any of the shows.
No,
it was just supposed to be an event to keep them all together, bring them together for a crossover event.
Right, they were just like the catalyst, really, and the rest was just about the heroes trying to resolve conflicts within themselves or with each other or you know, whatever. I'd rank this episode second, right after Flash. Probably, and again, that's probably because I'm not as invested in Arrow. If it was the 100th episode, like you're saying, obviously it was it was a big deal, and mm-hmm. It was all about paying tribute to the past, you know, their past,
right?
The series past.
Yeah, I would probably give this episode the one that, you know, to wrap it up and everything else.
Yeah,
I would probably give it probably a B plus.
B plus for the episode.
Yeah, yeah. For the Legends episode. There was a couple of things I wanted to touch on.
Yeah, go
ahead. So one, at the very end, Supergirl makes reference to them being the new Justice League because they're the world's mightiest heroes.
Yeah, she did.
Okay.
Yeah.
When Supergirl gets the tech from Cisco. So now she can travel back and forth at will, and right. She can talk to him.
Right.
Which now means that they can have the interaction between episodes without having any worries.
Right.
When she leaves, I don't know if you caught this or not, Ray Palmer says, "Does anybody else think she looks like my cousin?" And that was their nod
to Superman Returns.
Where he played Superman.
Right.
And they wanted to throw that in there, which I thought was pretty funny.
I didn't think about it at the time. Now that you mentioned that, it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
So.
I was reading something on earlier today. They had talked. I didn't follow any of the Supergirl comics.
Yeah.
The most I knew about Supergirl was the old movie.
Yeah,
the Supergirl movie with the Ferris wheel and all that, with the merry-go-round and stuff.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
where because she now plays her mom on Supergirl.
Oh, okay.
Supergirl's mom on Supergirl was the girl that played Supergirl in the movie.
Okay, so Supergirl from the movie is now Supergirl's mom. Okay, gotcha.
I mean, that's they have done that with so many people in Supergirl. So like her dad is the one who played. Clark Kent and Lois and Clark.
Right. Yeah. Dean.
Yeah. Dean Cain. And then there's a bunch of all those tie-ins.
Yeah.
Where was I going with that?
We were talking about Supergirl. Well, you knew about Supergirl from the you didn't know much from the
comics. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, gotcha. Apparently, people are excited because they said that the romance between Heatwave and Supergirl had just started. Apparently, in the comics, Heatwave and Supergirl kind of have a thing. And in this episode, at the very end, because Heatwave was like, I'm not, I don't need you, blah, blah, blah. I'm not even going to call you Supergirl, I'm going to call you Skirt, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And at the very end of this, when the Legends are all leaving to get on their ship, and she has that communication device, he goes, "Hey, Skirt, call me."
Yeah.
And so that's what they're saying is the...
That's their nod to the comics, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean... I
got a kick out of him calling her Skirt, actually. I thought it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But all in all, I said, this is probably one of my favorite crossover events. Of all the different TV shows that have tried to do crossover events,
yeah,
this was the one that I think, taking it across four different platforms, like four different TV shows... I think the only place you really lost is for the people who don't follow Arrow.
Right.
So you didn't have all that backstory of the five seasons. You didn't have all that knowledge of, you know, all the people of his past and all right. the different things that he's had to overcome. Because Supergirl wasn't a crossover, probably, except for Alaska a little bit.
I wouldn't.
So there wasn't really a whole bunch in there. And then... you know, Flash, I consider to be the best. Then I consider Arrow, you consider Legends. Then we flip-flop those two. But the action sequences, the fight scenes involving all of their special talents, and, you know, even the slow-mo part of the fights where you can see the Flash running through and putting the things on them, and then you see Heatwave with his heat gun coming in slow-mo, and then you see them fighting with the arrows. Mm-hmm. And
For TV budget, yeah, it's well done. I mean, you could only do better with the cinematic budget, my opinion.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I thought it was excellent.
Yeah, if I had to rank the series again, yeah, it would be Flash would be the best for me. Legends second, Arrow three, and then Supergirl fourth, just because it really wasn't
right exactly
crossover. So yeah, I don't know. What would you give the whole crossover? Like if you had to grade it?
Oh, I'd definitely give it an A.
Give it an A.
Oh yeah. Especially for something that we watch all the time. Well, I watch all the time. I watch all those episodes, all those series. I would definitely give it an A as far as being able to interact all the different... We've seen interaction between Supergirl and Flash. We've seen interactions between Flash and Arrow. And we've seen interactions between Arrow and Legends.
Mm-hmm.
But to see them all interact...
For the first time.
It was pretty phenomenal. The only thing that probably would have made this any better would have been if they would have brought back that Superman.
Yeah, from her universe.
Yeah. Yeah, and had them both in there and just...
Had they done that, it would have been truly Justice League. Although this version of Justice League is different than any other Justice League we've ever thought about before, because all of a sudden it's picking heroes from different universes to come together to become a Justice League instead of all being existing in the same universe.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a different take on it. Yeah, I would probably give it an A as well. This is by far, I agree with you on the crossover thing. Especially when you put this up against the Supergirl crossover from last season, it is light years. It is night and day difference. Very well done. I like how they wrote it. I like how they intertwined the storylines. The action was great. So yeah, it was. If you're a comic book fan of any kind in the DC universe, I don't see how you don't like this crossover in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah. Even if you're not, this might have gotten you into it.
Maybe. Yeah.
Just to watch that interaction with. You know, all of them playing one Invasion, which is the name of the crossover event, was Invasion,
right.
Which was also a mini comics run.
Right. I've heard that.
That was one of the bigger comic runoffs, spinoffs, if you will, that pulled a lot of people in. Yeah, I would definitely give it an A.
Yeah. Yeah, I have high hope for the future. I would like to see them. Venture into a Justice League, maybe. Maybe the only reason they didn't is because we're getting a Justice League movie, you know, in the cinematic
world. Right. Well, I did hear somebody call them the Holy Trinity now, which the Trinity is Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman.
Right.
And they were saying that Flash, Green Arrow, and Supergirl could be the new
big three.
The new big three, especially for TV.
Yeah.
Which I can definitely see.
Yeah. So. Yeah, we'll see.
They do have another crossover event coming later in the year. I think it's just Flash and Supergirl, though. Yeah. But it's a musical episode. Because both Supergirl and Flash were on Glee.
Oh,
so
really?
They both can sing.
I didn't realize that.
And then funny. In one of the episodes of Flash, we saw...
Cisco. Cisco can sing, apparently.
Cisco and her dad, Iris's dad, Joe West.
He can. Yeah, that's right. He is singing.
Yeah.
So.
But that's apparently we'll see that.
I would like to see their version of Justice League. Just kind of like how I loved Smallville's version of Justice League or Super Friends, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
So I would love to see that, see them, their take on that, especially a multiverse version.
Right. We didn't have the DC Kings, last Supergirl.
No.
And in that one, did you just bring up something completely off, you know?
Yeah, sure.
Same series, but not, she mentioned Batman.
She does?
Yes.
Where?
In the very beginning, she says that her cousin has worked with, because they're talking about Guardian.
Yeah.
And she goes, I don't know why he wears a mask. My cousin has worked with a guy in a mask with a bunch of gadgets, and he's got a bunch of demons.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't catch it.
Yeah.
Huh.
A bunch of my news feeds that I'm part of were going nuts about it, and they're like, "Oh my god, they just mentioned that there's Batman in her world."
That would be cool to see the Bat, obviously. I mean, basically, Green Arrow is the Bat, and you know, when you get, they're basically the same character.
I mean,
slightly different, but you know, same difference.
So. All right. So man, I think that wraps it up.
I think so. It was a good episode. Good.
Yeah. Good recap of.
It's good to be back.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, we had like a 3-week hiatus from this, right?
It just seemed like there's too many episodes. It's just that we're on hiatus, so.
Yeah, we had too many on hiatus and then too many things happening outside in the outside world.
In the real world, unfortunately. We can't defy everything that happens in the real world, I guess.
Right.
So.
All right, so for me, Hankenbauer, and for B. Willie.
Absolutely.
We're glad to hear you here. You guys can find us if you just Google us. The number 4, and then the name Midwest Guys right after it. You can find our YouTube page. You can find our iTunes account, Podbean. We're on Facebook, too. Like our pages, sign up, subscribe. So we want to know you guys are out there. Twitter accounts are a little different. We have a 4 Midwest Guys Twitter account, but I have my own personal, at Angstone, and... B. Willie has his at B. Willie.
1977.
If you guys want to reach out to us on there or wherever, talk about Marvel or DC. This week happened to be all about DC, only because of how big the crossover event was. And we didn't really have a lot of Marvel stuff to talk about. I mean, there was Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. just came back this week, so we'll probably talk about that next week.
Yeah.
After its hiatus.
We'll get into Gotham, too, which is DC, but still, there's a lot to talk about.
Oh, yeah,
about
we'll
there.
Get back into some of the other shows we've been watching, but I really wanted to focus on the crossover event.
Oh, yeah. Definitely deserved its own show.
Yep. So. All right, so we'll catch you guys next time here on Marvel DC Kings.